But it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, because God don't hail them into court when they first violate his laws and commit a terrible sin against God and some human being. But though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it will be well with them that fear God, that fear before him. But it'll not be well with the wicked. It ain't going to be well with you. Neither shall you prolong your days, which are as a shadow. Your days are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. God has a record. Job also said that in Job 16, in verse 13. He said, my face is foul with weeping, and all my eyelids are the shadow of death. But behold, my witness is in heaven. My record is on high. God's got every one of our records up there. If they can keep them down here on these big computer systems, how much more do you think God can keep a record? Jesus said, every idle word you speak, you're going to give an account of it. All your foolishness, every sin you commit, try to hide it. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The grim reaper always wins. He's the victor in every battle we fight valiantly to preserve our life. The grim reaper always wins. Job called him the monarch of terrors. The monarch of terrors steals stealthily into our rooms and envelops us in his somber cloak. And our breath leaves. And he leaves with that spirit. And soul. And our old body is laid there in a few moments. It's cold and stiff. And that spirit and soul goes to God. And we answer God. What did you do with Jesus? Why didn't you accept my son and my gift of life that I offered you? You say, did I have a choice? You have a choice every day that you're alive. You have a choice. You have a choice every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Back in the Old Testament, just briefly here, call your attention to Moses, the great prophet of God. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I commanded thee to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. You're the one that chooses. That both thou and thy seed or children may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of your days is in that choice that you make. That you make. My God, Jesus himself came to offer us life and to offer us life more abundantly. He warned us in the 5th chapter of the book of John. I love the book of John. It has a lot of wonderful things in all the Gospels, with the space of the book of John. In John, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you, this is your life. You have a choice, and Jesus leaves this warning. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. First, he's talking about the dead spiritually, dead in sins and trespasses, dead to God and everything right. He said, if you'll hear my voice, you'll live. If you'll hear it. Then he says in verse 28, he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, that's eternal life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. God has no delight in us making wrong choices. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." God will show you the path of life if we'll seek for it. There was a young man that came to Jesus, the rich young ruler. We refer to him as, and I like the record of Matthew 19. He's recorded in the first three Gospels. But in Matthew's account, verse 16, Matthew 19, "Behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He wanted to do something good. That's what a lot of people wants to do. They hope their good works will outweigh their bad works. That's not the way it operates. He said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, that's God. If you will enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep God's commandments. He saith unto them, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You do no murder, you'll not commit adultery, you'll not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now verse 20 says, the young man, I'm glad he put it in this biographical sketch here, because the other Gospels do not say he was a young man. The young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" It's his life. He's there standing right face to face with truth. The embodiment of truth is right there with him. You remember Jesus stood before Pilate the night of his betrayal and conviction and sentencing to death. Jesus said, "I've come to bear witness of the truth." And Pilate looked at him dumb as a donkey, an intellectual man, a man of prominence, a man of position and power and authority. Said, "What is truth?" And there he was looking at the very embodiment of truth itself. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." Now this young man here, he was rich. He was good looking perhaps. He was healthy. He had a good reputation. All of that. But he wanted to know, what did he lack for by not having eternal life? Jesus said, "If you'll be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." The young man had more in his hand than he had in his heart. God was bringing a balance in his life. You can't love this world and material things and put it ahead of God and Christ. So he says, you've got to have a balance here. Your heart is on your possessions. The young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, there's something to give up when you follow Christ. When you accept eternal life, your choice has not got to be just Jesus. Your choice has got to be the ways of Jesus. You've got to listen to his commandments, to his exhortations, to the responsibilities he lays upon you. There was another man, had a very similar experience. And that fellow was rich also in the 12th chapter of Luke. In verse 16, Jesus spake a parable of them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" He's making a decision for his life. That rich young ruler made the wrong, a tragic decision, and left Christ. And there he was, face to face with eternal life. And the offer that Jesus made him. Now here was his decision. "I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater. I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou'st much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." That's the consensus of every person that rejects Jesus Christ and repenting and turning away from materialism to living by faith. He wanted to eat, he wanted to drink, he wanted to be merry, he wanted a lot of money so there'd be no lack. He wanted affluence. God said to him, "Thou fool!" God spoke to him, "You're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're not ready, but tonight you're going to die. Then whose are those things going to be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That brings to my memory, I was pastoring in Memphis, Tennessee. 4 years, I had a lot of wonderful experiences there. Some were terrible, but there were experiences that enriched my life for the future. to share with others. There was a young man there. His wife attended church. He was a good Christian, but her husband was a vice president in a big bank there, Union Planters National Bank in downtown Memphis. And that young fellow was in his late 30s, groomed to be the next president. He was very close to being president because the president was getting old and ready to retire. And all he had his mind on was not Christ, not eternal life, like these two rich men of the Bible. He was laying up goods for many years. He wanted position. He wanted popularity. He wanted respect in the financial community. He wanted to be popular among the business people of Memphis and to be touted as one that was going to be a civic leader in that community. He had no time for church or Jesus. But one day, the lady called, "I want you to come. My husband's died." That fellow had been, he wouldn't let her get anybody, any help.